Hey, what are you going to do? Nice college boy, huh? Didn't want to get mixed up in the family business? Now you want to gun down a police captain? Why, because he slapped you in the face a little bit? Huh? What do you think, this is the army where you shoot him a mile away? You got to get up close like this, and bada-bing, you blow their brains all over your nice Ivy League suit. Come in.
Well, what you just heard was an historic moment in media, which was the invention of the term bada-bing. Which I came to learn later that James Caan, well, there were a lot of improvised moments in The Godfather. And James Caan, kind of on the spur of the moment in that scene where he's explaining to Michael that he can't shoot the cop, which Michael does eventually, just kind of dropped that little musical phrase, bada bing, into his description of, I guess, up close assassination, something that he'd been involved with, but something that Michael had not previously. And I read that James Caan got the phrase from Carmine Persico when he was researching the role of Carmine Persico being a real mobster, and later became what the Sopranos named the strip club and something that people use all the time.
Always.
How about that for knowledge, Rob Ellis?
That is serious research right there, Glenn. But it's fitting, though. I mean,
all right. This is what we're watching, sponsored by Guided Door and Window. Take advantage of Guided Door and Window's big summer sales event. Receive 40% off all windows and doors. Call 1-877-GO-GUIDE or visit them at goguida.com. So James Caan died today, Saturday, Thursday. Let me get your take, and then I want to give you my favorite James Caan sports movies.
A titan, really. I mean, you're talking about a guy throughout the... Well, he was mostly doing TV in the 60s, but who was just an absolute monster, a beast in the 70s in terms of some of the movies and some of the roles, which started with one of them. You'll get into your sports movies, but also just one of the biggest tearjerkers in the history of, you know, made-for-TV films, Brian's Song. And follow that up the next year with The Godfather, which is, think about that year that he had right there. But yeah, I mean, just an absolute titan, you know, and one of those guys who you felt like, Glenn, lived it away from the screen too. You know, he was classic Playboy Mansion,
he was consuming
everything he could consume, if you know what I'm saying.
He
was one of those guys too. I loved everything he was in. Even the Elf, I thought he was great in.
He was good in Elf. Yeah,
so
he was.
I'm a huge fan. I hate seeing these guys go.
I know. Sonny was, of course, the huge role. You mentioned Brian's Song, where he played Brian Piccolo. Which I love. What people remember is it was a made-for-TV movie that if you didn't see it when it was on TV, people never saw it, but people watched it. And years ago, when Ray and I wrote our book, The Ultimate Book of Sports Movies, and we asked athletes and broadcasters and actors their all-time favorite sports movies, we were amazed at how many of them named Brian's Song, and how many of them, and I'll give you two I remember, Larry Zonka and Brian Baldinger, two tough guys, right? Said that movie made them cry.
That hit a real chord, right? Because I can see it with NFL players too. But the friendship that those two had, and you know, rooming together in the '60s, mid '60s, when this stuff wasn't done, an African American player, that was a big deal. But the camaraderie that those two had, and let's face it, Glenn, those scenes when Piccolo's dying, God, man, and when Sarah's giving
Brian Piccolo.
Yeah, and I want you to love him tonight too. Like when Billy Dee Williams is delivering that speech, if you're not in tears, you got problems, man. You got to check your emotions.
He was also in the program where he plays Coach Sam Winters at Eastern State University, which I thought he did a terrific job at. That was a really good movie. Omar Epps was very good in that movie as
he was the running
Jefferson.
Back.
I know. I think his name was Darnell Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
He was really good in a movie that very few people have seen, and I recommend if you can find this and play it. It's great, called The Gambler, where he played a college professor, Axel Fried, who's got a sports betting addiction. And it's just getting worse and worse during the movie. He ends up stealing money from his mom. He ends up trying to convince one of the students in his class who plays for the basketball team to shave points, and just gets more and more desperate. It's a terrific movie, and he's great in it, called The Gambler.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of my own favorites that I still watch this one every 5 years or so. You ever see the original Rollerball?
I've never seen that.
Ellis, come on. Get in the game.
Very 70s, one.
Oh, totally 70s.
For sure. But no, I've heard he's great. Is that the one that Raquel Welch is also in?
No, she's not in it.
Oh, okay.
That's about Rollerball. That's about roller derby.
Okay.
This is based on a fictional futuristic sport. The funny thing is the movie is set in, like, the future, 2019, right? And you see it and, like, well, these things don't happen.
Yeah.
Although everybody's always staring into a screen, which kind of that did happen. But everything, actually, maybe it did all happen because it's about corporate feudalism and sports becoming more and more vicious and people becoming addicted to it. And he is his name is Jonathan E., he's the captain and star of the Houston Rollerball team. I don't want to tell you he's supposed to do something that he refuses to do, and then he spends the whole rest of the movie trying to save his life. And there's great comment about homegrown fascism and bloodlust and all that, but it's laughed.
Sounds like it.
The remake was terrible. The original was great.
Okay.
So he passed away. And then last night, I'm getting ice cream on my summer vacation, and I learned that Tony Sirico, Paulie Walnuts passed away.
I mean, how much more can we take here? Yeah. I mean,
okay.
Really?
Here you go. Okay. I'm going to ask you. Ultimate Paulie Walnuts episode.
Oh, it's Pine Barrens. That's a goat episode, period, but it's the Pine Barrens.
Yeah.
The ultimate
Christopher.
Yeah.
Sucking packets
ketchup
of ketchup in the freezer.
Because they wouldn't go to Roy Rogers earlier when Christopher begged him because he was starving and Paul wouldn't let him.
Yeah.
And the greatest is Tony Soprano's phone is breaking up the flip phones back then.
Yeah.
And he's trying to explain to him, like, this guy's the real deal that you're hunting down. Like, understand what you're dealing with. And all Paulie can make of it is he killed 16 Czechoslovakians and he's an interior designer.
Hold on. You call for it.
All right.
Kyle Quinn's got it.
He was with the Interior Ministry. Guy's some kind of Russian Green Beret. This guy cannot come back to tell this story. You understand?
I hear you.
There he is, Paulie.
Tom? Tom, you there?
Call me back!
You're not gonna believe this. He killed 16 Czechoslovakians. Guy was an interior decorator.
His house looked like
Christopher's line is killing too.
It's great.
Oh, so good.
So I read a thing last night that Tony Sirico, the actor, was in prison.
It's true.
And they had a visiting troupe of actors who were ex-cons come in to do a show for the guys. And he's watching, this is what I'm going to do. And he did it.
He left the mob. He completely changed his life around. And he was obviously an older guy. And he has a couple little cameos in Goodfellas and some other stuff, if you go back and really pay attention closely. But, yeah, I mean, he was – I think that scene, Glenn, and that episode, and the other one where he's explaining the bacteria that's on your shoelaces.
Oh, well, you go to the urinal and you tie your shoe.
He's literally cooking dinner for them at Satriali's, and it's hilarious. The whole scene is hilarious. He was awesome.
Okay, so let's get to the show we're watching. We appreciate people on hold. We're going to get you guys coming right up. I started watching a show the other day called The Bear. One thing television does really well these days is food. There are terrific cooking shows. There's a whole network about it. There are restaurant reality shows. I've told people watch that Stanley Tucci in Italy show, and they make food look so delicious. It makes your eyes water just to see it. So now there's a new drama on TV about food, about restaurants, and it's called The Bear. Big summer hit on FX Hulu. And it centers on a talented young chef named Carmen. The actor's Jeremy Allen White, who played Lip in Shameless, which was a terrific show, going home to run his dead brother's sandwich shop in working-class Chicago after being a celebrity chef in California. Let me just set it up, Rob, and I'll get your take, because I appreciate that after I mentioned this, you started watching it last night. So he, the character, is leaving behind stardom, you know, the three-star Michelin restaurant, to go to work for the equivalent of a hoagie shop, a cheesesteak joint in Chicago. And it's roast beef places. I've been to Chicago, and they are good. And so you don't get to see as much food porn as you get to see how the sausage is made. With a large cast drama about characters that you'll end up caring about. It's also a show where watching it, you sometimes find it difficult to breathe. I've never worked in a restaurant, Rob. I don't know if you have, but everything seems frenetic and fast-paced, on the verge of chaos, and the show puts you there in the kitchen. And I'm breaking out into sweats while I'm watching it, but I'm really liking it.
You use the word that I have written down, frenetic, and the action in it is you really get an idea the pressure that they're under, how quickly they have to move, what has to be going on there. You really get a sense for all of that. And I don't want to give too much away, but there's flashbacks as well that give you an idea of the kind of immense pressure that this guy was under.
Oh, man.
Incredible.
I think you want to be a chef. I don't know if that's a good
thing. Yeah, you're going to have some second thoughts if that's the case. But the action is awesome. What they do too really well, they give you a little sort of tease of the backstory and kind of where we're headed with certain little morsels that they'll drop for you that you're like, oh, I got to find out what this is all about. And they do a great job of that. I'll tell you one other thing I love about it. The soundtrack is phenomenal. It's a phenomenal soundtrack. It's really well done.
Yes.
And you don't get that much anymore because they don't want to pay rights fees.
And the songs run from the 70s up through now.
Yeah.
And whoever picks the music does a great job. That's a very good point.
It's well done.
And basically, the bottom line of the plot is, as I said, he comes home, and you'll recognize him as Lip if you watch that. And he's grieving and he's clashing with his sister and with the staff at the restaurant. And there's like the abrasive best friend know-it-all, but he's trying to turn a greasy spoon into something more as everybody's kind of going against his ideas. It captures life on the line in a restaurant kitchen, but it also has a lot of good subplots and good characters and heightened emotions. And I'm three episodes in and not sure my plans for the rest of the day. Oh, by the way, they're only half an hour, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, you could rip through them.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think there are 10 episodes in the end, or 8 episodes. Maybe there's 8
episodes. I think it's 8. Yeah.
I think it's 8. So you watch the whole thing in 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I may have my post-dinner plans tonight.
Let me give you one other thing that caught my eye. And at the time, I couldn't quite picture who it was. There's a counselor. I don't want to give too much away in it. You know who it is, Glenn? It's Molly Ringwald.
Well, yes.
With dark hair.
I didn't know that. You know what? I'm looking at the credits.
Well,
I saw that's episode 3, and I'm looking at the credits like, Molly Ringwald?
You know how
And my wife said, yeah, that was the counselor. I was like, get out of here.
Yeah. Like, I swear to you, I'm not kidding. So I'm looking at this woman, and I thought at first it might have been Ally Sheedy, who was also in Breakfast Club. But it turns out it's Molly Ringwald with black hair.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. Good call. Yeah. All right. Anyway. You and I both recommend The Bear on FX Hulu. Watch it. It's 8 half-hour episodes, and I plan to finish that tonight. Good stuff. All right, let's get to David. You're on with Rob and Glenn. Hey, David. David. All right, we have people calling us today who are either impatient or
kind of like your theory on the
disappearing into the ether.
Not watching games in their entire
life. Yes, that's right. They're waiting for the highlights.
Exactly.
Stick around. All right, Bob in Prospect Park. Hey, Bob.
Hey, good morning, man.
Hey, buddy.
How you guys doing?
Good.
The movie you're talking about with Raquel Welch in it is the Roller Derby. That was Kansas City Bomber with Kevin McCarthy in it.
Yes. And by the way, a very fun movie.
Yep. And Raquel was one of my all-time favorites. She's still a good-looking woman, darn it.
Well, that's fine. I haven't seen her since that Seinfeld episode, and that's got to be 20 years ago.
Oh, she's got a beautiful daughter, too, named Taryn, that was in the... I think, what was that movie with St. Petersburg with Gutenberg in it?
Okay.
Jeez.
With the pods and the water.
Yeah. Okay.
Human
you. Okay.
Oh, she's beautiful. Taryn Welch.
Rob is Googling as we speak. Go ahead.
I think Johnny Gaudreau would really be a good fix for the Flyers. We need a face for this franchise. And D'Angelo, hopefully things don't get messy in the locker room. I think Tortorella would keep him in place, but they need a little more life in the locker room. They show no emotion on the ice. I think D'Angelo might be the guy to bring it.
The biggest sin the Flyers had last year, and there were many, is that they were just too boring to watch. We're talking about watching games versus watching highlights. The Flyers were impossible to watch a game. And when you saw that, Rob, was when you actually watched the postseason. And we know the hockey, the Stanley Cup playoffs are, you know, 10 times more exciting than regular season.
Right.
But it was an entirely different sport.
Yeah, it was. They are so far away. I mean, they are so far away. This wasn't a couple injuries. This wasn't the fact that they lost Coots. It had a lot more to do with it than that. I mean, this has been systematic issues. This has been, you know, systematic whiffs in the draft for years. Poor choices on you know, free agent signings and trades. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't happen overnight to get to where they are.
By the way, I'm not sure you're aware of this. I am boycotting all hockey nicknames until the Flyers.
Can't go Coots anymore?
Round of the players. Playoffs.
Fair enough.
No
yeah.
Coots. None of them.
Nobody's earned a nickname at this
Heartsy,
point.
Heartsy. None of it. I refuse.
Torts? Right. You can't even go Torts?
No, I'm not doing Torts. Okay. If he gets to the second round of the playoffs, we can go
Torts. Then he's Torts. He's just John?
Well, Tortorella or right. John, yes. Coach T, whatever.
Coach T.
Okay, David was apparently under a bridge a moment ago. You have emerged, David?
Yes, with a combination of going under a bridge and my facial socket seeing gas price in Pennsylvania at $4.55. I'm like, wow, whoa. That's cheaper than I paid in Jersey.
You know what's amazing? So I'm so glad you brought that up because I was paying $5, whatever, 2 or 3 weeks ago. And now I saw essentially the same, like $4.52. And for a second, I'm thinking, what a bargain.
Great deal.
And then you realize, like, they've just conditioned you to give up.
It is. We see four and we're like, we're drooling at the mouth.
Right. It's crazy. Well,
I was dealt. I actually had to leave to go to Virginia on Sunday. I was there 2 weeks ago. I filled up a box truck, and I'm just watching the number go up to $164. And by the time I got to Wilmington, Delaware, I had another $100 to top it off.
All right. So you wanted to talk about watching games versus watching highlights.
Yeah, you know what the change is? It's one gentleman said it's the time. It's not the time because people can binge watch a lot of the streaming stuff. It's partly the product, the product, the personalities. I think something with the Twitter and the Facebook that brings them in your face takes away that mystery,
mm-hmm.
and the personalities just aren't as strong. To back it up, you put Muhammad Ali on Twitter, and Twitter breaks. But there's no personality of that level that's worthy of it. So you don't, you know, you watch them. I could take 30 minutes, 15 minutes. That is what it is. And I've kind of gotten to the point where I'm almost all football. I check in on the Sixers. I haven't watched the whole basketball game.
All right, so but you make it, you brought it up in an interesting way, and I think that you, how old are you, David?
42.
All right, so you're right in the middle,
yeah.
Which is good. And I got to let you go. Say hi to your sister.
Thanks,
me.
David.
I hope you're well. It's the personalities more than the game that interests people the younger they get, I believe.
Yeah, it's drama. One of the reasons why there's a popularity with the NBA.
An old Andy Blum line.
Well, it's true. I mean, there's a blast from the past.
All the drama.
One of the reasons the NBA is as popular as it is because it's a soap opera. It's Kyrie Irving. It's Kevin Durant. It's this guy wants out. This guy isn't playing. Why isn't he playing? This guy's sitting on the. It's not about, oh, did you see the pick that was just set there for the screen?
The
pick and roll.
Beautiful play.
Yeah, those days are gone. It's become Hollywood. It's become entertainment a lot more, the process. It's not about so much what's even happening on the court. It's everything surrounding it.
That's a good point. 215-592-9494. Hey, the summer heat means it's that time of year to crank up the AC. Keep your home cooling more efficiently and to help you save on high energy bills, I suggest you go Guida and finally replace your old drafty, inefficient windows and doors with the great people at Guida Door and Window. Right now, Guida is offering the best discounts of the year with their big 40% off summer sales event on all expertly installed windows and doors. You receive 40% off each window you buy. That's right, 40% off all.